Special recording alert, breaking with Brian Bonilla. Brian, why are we talking today off schedule here? What's going on?
Well, people are probably wondering, like, what's happening? I'm sure, like, this is the highlight of most people's weeks. So they're probably like, whoa, another episode. They said every 2 weeks. I know it's going to happen.
Surprise.
Well, I don't know if you heard. You might have heard.
Oh, I heard.
We dropped our A-list this week.
The whole agency world heard.
Yeah.
People are talking. People read into this thing. The A-list is special every year.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a heavy lift. It's a fun time, but it's also a lot of work. And, you know, like, it's something that I commend our staff and doing every year. And, you know, each year it gets interesting and more interesting to judge these agencies. If people aren't aware, because they know this, you know, we have some students watching or people maybe who aren't familiar with the industry as much. Our A-list is our annual award. It's probably our biggest award. And it focuses on a number of categories, right? You know, but essentially the top 10 agencies of the previous year is our big thing. And we do things like standouts, best agency culture, you know, and things like that, you know.
I love it. I've been tuning into this since freshman year of college. And we look forward to this. For me, this is how I've generated the podcast. Like, where do I want to work? Who's making great work? Sometimes I just read the agencies. I'm like, okay, I trust them. Like, I don't have to I just like, okay, you're on the A-list. And that doesn't go away. People will have that on their website forever.
Right.
If they make it top 10 or their standout, that's living forever. And I see that it's instant credibility in my eyes, and it should be in the student's eyes.
For sure. For sure. And you know, so this episode, we're going to run it down. We're going to go down the top 10. We're going to look at every, you know, different parts of the list and then go from there.
Yeah. And we're just skimming over it. Skimming. I think skimming over it, a couple deep dives. I might have some questions beyond that. And we really suggest people to follow into these, go to Ad Age, subscribe. The best way to break in is to nerd up, in my opinion. That's the first step. Know the industry, know what you want to do, know where you want to work. This is a good way to do it. So we're not going to go through each one. Why? What was it like on the back end? But I think we should clarify. So it's the best agencies from 2023, correct?
Right, right.
And why does this matter to the industry, would you say, Brian, at a high level?
I mean, look, I think, you know, especially at Ad Age, we pride ourselves at being the voice, the standard for advertising and, you know, advertising journalism. And, you know, I mean, this is the marquee list, right, in my opinion. And this is something that we take months, you know, judging, you know, and this is the entire editorial staff. And well, not the entire, but, you know, a large chunk of it.
No agency folks are a part of this. No marketing folks.
No, we do have our creativity awards, which are judged by advertising peers only. And that's not out yet. That's, you know, things like, you know, best B2B campaign. And
yeah, it's more work driven.
More work
campaigns, right. Solo spots. This is just agencies picked by the editorial staff or majority of the editorial staff. I want to know what goes on in the room, where it happens, but we will not disclose that. I'm sure there's a very thorough vetting process. You're looking through the applications, a lot of debriefs and a lot of time deliberating, I'm assuming. From my perspective, somebody that does PR agency comms, this is a dream. Instant credibility with new clients, right? You can market that. You can say, hey, like if you're on a new business pitch, hey, we're on Ad Age's A-list. That, enough set. It helps attract talent, right? If people are going to want to work for the top 10. So it helps with recruiting. It helps retain current employees, helps the culture internally. I'm sure there's big parties happening and celebrations happening for the people that made this list. And also it just proves the hard work pays off.
Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, like, this, just like any award there is in the industry, like, this doesn't mean that if you're not on this list, you're not a good agency, great agency. There's so many good agencies that I wish could have been a part of this list. And, you know, like, maybe we should do an episode on that. Like, just agency.
Ooh, I like that.
But, you know, yeah. It's
there's how many agencies? Like thousands?
I don't want to say an exact number, but yeah.
There's a large number. This list encompasses what, maybe 40 on this list?
Yeah, 10 and then 15 standouts and then individual winners for different categories. So yeah, like 30, 40, you know?
Yeah. So you can't cover them all. And new news is always popping up. People on the agency side are starting, they're thinking about this. Like, we're thinking about, how does Havas get on this list one day? And what are we doing to track that internally? How do we create work? And we're looking at the winners and benchmarking against them because we want to improve. I think it's a good thing just to set benchmarks and standards that are high. So we appreciate it too. We love it. My next question, Brian, before we get into the top 10 and rundown, is what does this mean for advertisers that are aspiring? People, you all potentially listening, although I feel like a lot of people are going to be listening to this one, watching in. But what does this mean for the aspiring advertisers? What are the implications? How do they look at this list? You know, should they be recruiting? Should they be networking specifically with this list? This could be a recurring question theme that we're thinking about throughout as we go through this. But maybe high level takes first off. What do you think, Brian?
Aspiring advertisers is what you're saying?
Yeah, people trying to break in. Young folks or people in different industries looking to get a job in advertising.
It's a good, you know, like, starting point. And I think a lot of people use this list as a way to learn about the industry, find out who's doing the best work in there, you know. And, you know, what I always remind people, this is about the work, but it's also about the business of the agency and how that's doing. But yeah, I think, like, you know, if you don't know anything about advertising, but you want to get it into it, it's a great, like, high level, just like, way to just start learning about the industry and the different aspects of it, you know?
Right, because some of these agencies specialize. They're different. So, and we'll go through that at a little high level, but some agencies just do social, some do experiential, some are business transformation.
Right.
So it's a really good lesson too. Then you can click into them, learn about them. Who are the competitors? Who else is in this kind of sector of advertising agencies? So I love it.
Right. And look, you can read one thing and then you can be like, that's bullshit because I know a better one. And then that's fine, you know, because
yeah, it might lead you to the right agency that you want to work for.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I agree. Well, then let's get into it, Brian. The top 10 agencies of 2023. Number 10. Who do we got?
So, you know, the first one's actually a PR agency. Number 10, the Weber Shandwick Collective.
Boom. So right there, we already got that one. PR agency, different from a traditional creative agency. Love it.
Well, I will say, like, PR agencies more and more are doing more brand work and
more creatives. Judy John Edelman, right? They hired, I remember that was big news.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think the lines are blurred. People that think that it's still about creative and media agencies and things like that. Like, the lines are blurred. It's more integrated than ever. You know, I wouldn't think about it that way anymore. I were to bring it to the industry. So yeah.
Number nine, who do we got?
Number nine, VaynerMedia.
Are they a media agency or a creative agency?
They're both. Again,
blurring the lines.
Yeah. Their media practice has grown a lot. But you know, they're really good at winning accounts, and what they're known for, you know, unsurprisingly, you know, a big philosophy of their founders, Gary Vaynerchuk, which is leading with social media. And they've really just, since their inception, made that their calling card. I mean, look, but they're also in big Super Bowl campaigns now. They've become a much more full-fledged agency than I think people would have thought of them 4 years ago.
Yep. Founder Gary Vaynerchuk. We all know, we should know who that is. Social media influencer, really, of its own right. And he's done a great job building his brand.
If you like garage sales, you've probably seen his videos. So.
Oh my gosh. Flipping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can flip that.
Yeah.
All right. Number eight, who do we got?
Right. 72 and Sunny. You know, this was a return to the list after a few years being off it. They were an agency to watch in 2021. And, you know, it's one of those agencies that people maybe in 2015, 2016 were thinking of 72 as like this really hot shop and maybe cooled off a bit. But, you know, the work, especially for the NFL, was fantastic. You know, the I don't know if you remember it, the flag football player running across, you know, just different.
Super Bowl ad, one of the best. I mean, did they do the 100th? Or not the 100th. What was that one with all the different NFL players?
I was down on it. You're talking about like a global, it was kind of global. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were like tackling each other. Like you had every like Peyton Manning throwing the ball. And
Yeah. I think that was them. Yeah.
Could be wrong. They're
the lead creative for Atlanta. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was.
Yeah. And what a name. 72 and Sunny, your relationship with 72 and Sunny. And I mean, that's just the perfect weather. And I've always had that when I was breaking in, that was the hot shop that, and I'm glad to see that they're back and they're on the list this year too.
Well, on that, from your perspective, like when you were trying to get in, who were the agencies that were like, I guess, popping?
Oh, Droga 5 before the acquisition with Accenture. I was in the office like a month after, like as a student at a networking event. Did I tell you this? I rose my hand in Droga 5's office, not his, but within like the, you know, like their lobby. And I was like, are you guys afraid that the Accenture buy will negate or diminish creativity? And they all just said no at the same time. We'll be good. So I think that ruined my chances of ever getting a job at Droga 5.
Well, to that point, I mean, you know, I don't want to go too far from the list, but they were our agency to watch this year. And to that point, because, you know, like, yes, I think people think of them differently now, but despite losing some talent and here and there, the work is still really good. And pretty interesting that that is happening.
But once you're on the list, like from a, like from my perspective, you're cemented as a great forever. I won't even have to follow them. Like I could be out of the loop and I'm still going to have that bias. Like, oh, Droga 5 when I was breaking in was a top 10 on the A-list, and therefore I'm always going to think they're great.
Right.
Like, that's my bias.
Our agency of the decade. That was.
Yes. Yes. Accenture Song now, right? Isn't that what they go by?
Well, Droga 5 kept its name, but Accenture Song. Yeah. It's under Accenture Song. Yeah.
Right. All right. So who we got next? We're at number 7, which is where Boochin works.
This is
creative lead.
This is translation. Third year in a row, which
saw that they had that Michael Jordan post.
Yeah, which is great.
Trophy. Yeah.
Smart. I think before that they had the Toronto Blue Jays, the back to back picture. I don't know if you know about that one, like when the Toronto Blue Jays won 2 World Series back to back and Drake used it as like its logo. It's like his picture for dissing Meek Mill.
Back to back.
Yeah.
That was a crazy time.
I know, right? Like, what was that? You know, but.
What if fingers turn to trigger fingers?
There you go.
Translation, yeah. Not surprised by this one. I just feel like they have with Steve Stout, right? That's their guy.
Yeah, Steve Stout. And, you know, like, they had a bet when he founded the agency that culture mattered. And, you know, I think even Steve admitted, like, it wasn't until maybe the past few years where people really took that like ethos seriously. And now he's saying there's like basically culture vultures out there. Yet agencies trying to copy this idea of like being a culture agency. And he didn't even like the term agency. There's a great quote in there about, you know, there needs to be a funeral for the word agency. You know, but like they're always putting out strong words. They created, you know, this helmet with AT&T for deaf or hearing impaired football players. And, you know, you could see like on the football screen, like the helmet screen, like the play where that's being called rather than hearing it, which is the normal way of doing things.
Nice.
With that, they used like their United Masters company, which is translations like way of empowering independent artists. It's like an think of like a company that just like signs independent artists, and they got a deaf singer to sing The Sound of Silence, which is just like a perfect just tie-in. And it was just like a great example of product innovation, great traditional creative with, you know, just and using music. So
love it. Love their brand. Love what they're putting out. Number six.
This one, maybe people wouldn't be surprised either, but Wieden and Kennedy, I think this is their second year in a row.
Did they three-peat?
No, not this time. Are you talking about Edward or?
Didn't they have like a big achievement like not too long ago where they made like A-list like 3 years in a row?
If that happened, it was before my time.
But maybe 2 years. It was 2 years in a row?
It might be 2 years. I'm pretty sure they were standout before last year. So just second year in terms of recent, you know.
Obviously. If they were not on the list, I would be shocked, I feel like.
Wait, you think so?
Yeah, I'm always just like, okay, where's Wieden? Which makes sense. Like, well, same thing with Martin, number five.
Wieden, I mean, look. The Grimace work and the McDonald's work is just like a masterclass on its own. Like, check that out.
And like, don't forget Nike. They still run Nike.
Yeah.
And which is timeless.
Yeah. And just building a social media hub within New York. And it's just like, they continue to reinvent themselves, you know?
And we just talked about on the last episode, some stuff that happened in 2024, right? I just want to put this out there. Maybe you're getting a lot of questions. This is the first thing I thought of. The news that happened was recent, right? So you didn't take that in consideration for 2023, correct?
Right. So everything had been decided at that point, you know, before the layoffs were announced at Wieden and
which we talked about last episode. So right. if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to that.
Right. So
it was the headline of the week. Was it? Or was it a deep dive?
It was the Barkley and then the Wieden.
Yeah. It was a deep dive.
Yeah,
from last episode.
But yeah, like it's, you know, that was 2024. One, I don't think any agency would want to be, you know, taken off a list, based off something that they did 1 year because of something else that happened the next year.
Right.
Look, I'll be frank, like people were sending me questions about it and stuff. And it's just like, I think, you know, one, it's not fair. It's not within the rules of our judging because
you have parameters.
Yeah, all those. I did, and but also I will say, like last year, I mean, I can't name you any agency that didn't have layoffs, really. You know, and I think people that are trying to use that as like a reason, like there's more to it. I'm not saying layoffs are, you know, should be commonplace. I think it's pretty, you know, actually sad that it's becoming commonplace. You know.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, you know, it'd be hard to pick an agency that didn't have any layoffs, you know?
True that. Wieden, glad they're on the list. They always are phenomenal.
Right.
Who do we have at number five? I already said it. Martin Agency.
I mean, if you didn't see the Solo Stove tweet, I'd be surprised. But also picking
so
up.
Good. That was one that actually my friends told me about.
Right, that's same thing, right?
It was like one of the only, if I get my friend group to be like, Gino, I really like this ad, then I know it's pretty good. Like, it broke through. Because you and I can talk about ads all the time. We do. Sure. But one of my buddies that are in finance or in government jobs can talk about it. Then there's something to be said.
Well, the best is when people thought it was a real tweet and... you know,
giving up smoke. What did Snoop Dogg say?
Yeah, I don't remember.
People retweeted it. Yeah, it's like, I'm giving up smoke. And we had no clue what he was talking about.
Yeah.
It's for Solo Stove.
But yeah, I mean, I had an embargoed press release, so I knew that it was an ad, but people really didn't know. And I thought that was smart.
I had no clue.
But I think, you know, like, they also won Papa John's Creative AOR and Sanofi Creative AOR, which owns a lot
of products. But did the Solo Stove achieve the marketing goals? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, look, that's disgusting, right? I think, you know, if you ask Martin, yes, it did, but it depends what the goals were. And I think, like, you know, to me, it sounded like awareness was the goal. And at the end of the day, like, when I buy a stove, will I consider a Solo Stove?
Probably
now, like, because I never would have, I didn't even know what the brand was. So, I don't know, but it did spark a crazy debate.
I know. I was just messing around. I wasn't trying to open that can of worms.
That could be a whole episode on its own. Like,
people covered it. People came out from their wherever they're working. Everybody had something to say.
Yeah.
Number four is good too. This one's interesting. Day One Agency.
One agency. Social media, you know, influencer agency.
Jamie Falkowski has been on the podcast. He is their chief creative officer. Great episode. Totally taught me about Day One, and I'm not surprised. They have a really good comms team for their agency too. Like, they just do a really good job of getting their brand out there as an agency. That's what I'm thinking about. This might be something we talk about later too, but
yeah, we'll probably, you know, that is one I'll probably talk more about. Once we're done with the list.
And number three is, who is number three, Brian?
It's known with,
I was unknown. I did not know known before this list.
Yeah, I think a lot of people didn't, which, you know, I think
is interesting.
We try to, like, you know, we try to think about, like, what's like important for the year, like what's happening in the year. And also, like, you want to get new blood in there once in a while. And, you know, known just had from a new business perspective, 25 account wins.
That's a lot.
But you know, they're a data creative and media agency. You know, they have their own OS system, AI OS system that they use for you know, basically all their, like, campaigns. And it's a pretty, you know, futuristic kind of built agency, hiring a lot of engineers and things like that.
Damn.
Yeah.
I like that. Number two, back to Chicago. That's where I'm at.
Yep. iDive. How did you feel when?
I love it. If a Chicago agency is on the list, I think Myra, my boss, we share the same sentiment. Chicago, we care about each other. We want to elevate our presence in the industry. We're number two, number three to LA, New York. New York gets all the love. People think you have to go to New York to make it. But the Chicago ad market historically has been always up there. There's been a downturn, been upturns. So when we see that, we like that. We, you know, HiDive is a powerhouse when it comes to Super Bowl ads, which is my perception of them, because they win the damn ad meter every year, it seems like. I think four of the last 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
Three out of the last 4 years. I mean, it's something that a lot of my friends work there. A lot of people that go to the University of Illinois, they aspire to work at HiDive. And I love that people are staying in Chicago for advertising, and HiDive has been leading the charge. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously they've been known for the Super Bowl work. I think last year was a really elevation point for them. 11 account wins in 11 months.
Right. It goes beyond the Super Bowl too stuff, which I think is good to kind of call out.
Yeah, the article goes into their social media work and things like that, like something that you wouldn't think about them for. And I think people should check that out, because I think it can be very easy to get labeled as an agency, right?
But not a bad label to have.
Not a bad.
It's the pinnacle of the industry. I truly believe people bring their best work for the Super Bowl.
Right.
So if you're known as the Super Bowl agency, which I'm sure GoodBee has taken that, like, has had that for a long time. They still are known for Super Bowls too and all their great campaigns. It's not bad. It's not a bad stereotype, if you will.
It's not the worst.
No.
Number one.
Let's say it together on three. 1, 2, 3. Mischief.
Yep. I'm sure some people weren't surprised, and just been on a hot streak for the past few years. I mean,
how many account, like, what's their account wins? Like, let's unveil the curtain a little bit. Like, let's kind of explain this, because it's easy to be like, oh, Mischief won again. Of course, like, they're the best. But maybe if we can explain why to some people that maybe don't even know Mischief, because you and I, we hear about Mischief all the time, rightfully so. We're happy for them. But let's explain actually fundamentally what they're doing well.
Well, look, I think they were only founded in 2020, right? And I think
that same day as the podcast. Did you know that? April 16th?
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. They became the best agency, and we became a somewhat relevant advertising niche podcast.
Who can see which one is better? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think people get maybe enamored, right, by the cool branding, right? The ideology, like being a disruptor.
The story. Right. Greg Hahn's just great dude.
Greg Hahn's story, like, you know, leaving a big agency, starting his own shop.
Did he get laid off at BBDO? I should know this. He was on the podcast about a year ago. I think he was the most listened to podcast in 2022.
Yeah, I believe he was. Yeah.
Laid off by by BBDO, high up there. He's been a creative director, high up creative for a long time.
Right.
And he's like, screw this, I can do this, right?
Yeah, he does that. He works with the NFA team.
Are they independent?
Yes.
But where does NoFX Address come in? What do they do?
NFA owns a minority of that. So the NFA is the network, right? So like there's Mischief at NoFX Address. NFA has other agencies within it, like Courage, which is a really good agency, you know.
Yeah. Shannon Miller is there?
Yeah, Shannon Miller. Yeah.
Shout out Shannon. Really come on the podcast, Shannon.
You should, yeah. There's a really good creative work though from there. And they own like a few agencies and they work together sometimes, things like that. Mischief story, like they worked with 19 new brands last year, 67% organic growth compared to that the year prior.
19 brands. Known had like 20 wins. Like I don't even think I know 19 people.
Right. And the thing is, like, they got like 250 like new business opportunities. And obviously, like, their Mischief, I think that gets inflated when your name, you know, is on top.
250 new business opportunities, like RFPs or specially designed projects just for them?
I think, you know, like when I think of opportunities, it's probably like a review potentially, or like a project that they could probably work on, like a real opportunity. And they turned those down.
You have to, I mean,
they turned down 250 opportunities. So they probably have more, you know, and
their new business, that new business team's got it. They got to figure it out.
Yeah. But what I find interesting is like people don't realize, like, sometimes, like, yes, the creative's great, but the strategy is actually really good too. And it goes into like the agency's branding itself, which I think people don't maybe think about as much, you know, like, if you look into our article about it, the strategy is just as important as the creative. But obviously the creative is fantastic. My favorite was the 2B Super Bowl ad that faked out a whole bunch of people.
Yep.
But also the second ad with like the rabbits and reminded me of Donnie Darko a little bit.
Yeah. Rabbit hole. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just think
Coors Light, I remember. I mean, their first campaign that blew my mind was the Send Nudes one.
Right. That was the first one that you thought of. Yeah.
Remember that one?
I mean, yeah.
Blurred out for Kraft. And I was like, damn, this is special. Like, this is going to be good.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think take a deeper look into beyond the creative.
Yeah.
And yeah.
learn about strategy. I think if you get the strategy right, I think it was like Abe Lincoln that said, if you give me 4 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first 3 hours sharpening the axe.
And wow. It's really specific quotes I remember there. That's
I think about that every time, like about strategy. Like if you put all your hard work in the strategic thinking and the research, then the creative will come a lot better and a lot faster.
You're right. It's true. But look, we'll see where the momentum goes, right? You know, we'll see.
We'll see. Nice. So that is the top 10. And, you know, Brian, let's just, you know, because we can't go through all the special accolades. There's agency standouts. Alto, Cashmere. I'll read them right now. Alto, Cashmere Agency, Cole McVoy, Curiosity, Dentsu Creative US, Edelman, Good Beat Silverstein & Partners, Joan Creative, Lerma, McKinney, Mother, Preacher, Quality Meats, Rethink, Team Epiphany, Zulu, Alpha, Kilo. I see a lot of past guests on the Breaking Entering podcast. You know, Greg Hahn from Mischief's been on. We had Megan Lally, the president of High Dive. So Day One Agency, Martin Agency. This is a resource, this podcast. You can learn about these agencies, you know, before they were on the list, right?
Mm.
You know, learn about them. Listen to their podcast episodes and check out this list.
Nice.
There's other stuff too, like agency to watch.
Well, I don't know. Did you want to go through the whole list, or do you want?
Let's leave it. You know, let's go into our deep dives because are a lot. There's solo categories too. But let's go into the deep dives, and maybe we can do honorable mentions later and talk or for some other standouts later. Sound good?
And definitely check out our standouts and also check out the rest of the list, you know, when you can. Healthcare Marketing Agency of the Year, Data and Insights Agency of the Year, you know.
This is gold. I love this stuff. Like, I hope everybody kind of nerds out about this stuff too.
But now what's next? Tell them what's next.
So we got deep dives. How it's going to work is we each have selected two deep dives where we want to talk about something specific, and you'll kick us off. I'll go next. You'll go then, and then I'll finish it off. So we'll go back and forth.
Yeah, sounds good.
Any part of the list outside the top 10 could be standouts, could be those individual categories. So kick us off, Brian. What was your deep dive? What do you want to talk about some more?
Yeah, for sure. Independent Agency of the Year. That was our first. This is our first time having that award on our list. And this went to a Knoxville agency, Tom Briss. You know, pretty interesting backstory, right? Family-owned agency since 1946.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Dooley Tom Briss, you know, he inherited this agency, you know, from his, you know, probably grandfather or father, you know. But, you know, like, I think being in the region that they are in, I think they for years probably didn't get taken seriously. And, you know, Dooley credits hiring their CCO, Jeff Benjamin, as the starting point to like the spark, which Jeff Benjamin before was at Crispin and Barton F. Graff and, you know,
Gary Graff.
Right.
Judging our Crowbar Awards.
Right. Shout out. And so, yeah, Tom Briss, you know, for years, I think they didn't get maybe taken as seriously, but now they're almost 500 person agency. They won 13 new accounts last year, including like Sun Chips, BMW, Motorrad, Sally Beauty. You know, they did that Sweethearts Valentine's Day campaign.
Talk about that. Yeah. Episode two? Episode one?
Yeah.
Episode two, we talked about that campaign, Valentine's Day. That was good.
You know, and so the work is getting much better too. Like, I think with under Jeff, you know, the Steakum's work, obviously they run the like viral social media account.
Oh, good.
But they did this like campaign where they like, you know, kind of like antagonized the Philadelphia, you know, by saying that they have the better Philly cheesesteaks.
Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think the creative is getting there and the new business is really picking up.
And I like how they sponsored, or they have the name on UTK, University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Mm-hmm. They have, I don't know what the details of that are, but I know that their ad school or their creative program is named after Tom Bruce.
Right.
And so they're probably involved in the education, aspiring advertisers point of view. So I love that from my perspective.
Yeah, they're essentially helping curate the program. And, you know, I actually wrote that story. It's pretty interesting. And, you know, like, I just think, you know, they opened the New York office not too long ago. They hired a, you know.
It's big. I did not know that they had that New York office.
You know, if you're a student, check that out. Like, they're obviously growing. And,
yeah,
you know, they probably need to grow the office more. So,
yeah.
They do a lot.
If you don't want to go to Knoxville, Tennessee, they got the New York office now.
Right. They do a lot of work on, they do a lot of SEO and social media work, but they're getting more of that big campaign work as well.
It'll start growing.
Hiring a chief growth officer from Wyden, you know, I think they just really elevated their bench. And I just think they had a great year.
Love it. My deep dive. So I want to talk about for mine is I want to switch things up. I talk about agencies all the time. You talk about agencies all the time. Talk about in-house agency, marketing side, Yeti. Yeti was, what is it? In-house agency of the year?
Yeah.
Boom. What does that mean? How did they come to play? Do they work with agencies, Brian? What is this world? Should students look into it? How about that for a starter? Question series.
I mean, you know, I see all the time on like Fishbowl and like all this shit, like people try to make the jump from agency side to brand side, right? And they're typically,
it could mean like the marketing roles where it's bigger than, it's beyond advertising. It could just be like you're working with agencies, but this is different,
right? And a lot of times they do have in-house agencies, but that doesn't mean they don't work with other agencies if they don't want. Think about like Kraft Heinz has, you know, the kitchen, right? They're an agency. And, you know, more brands are building in-house agencies. Some agencies, I know Rainier does this, they work with brands to help build in-house agencies, actually. And,
whoa, interesting.
You know, that I think maybe back in a few years ago, it was like, oh, like it's just a threat, you know? And I don't see it as like a threat to the overall landscape, because it is hard to build a good in-house agency. And
yeah,
a lot of time they specialize in like one aspect, like social media and things like that. Yeti, you know, really got the sustainability message out there really well. I remember seeing like their out-of-home ads, which I really liked, about talking about like how their Yeti just lasts forever, unlike other, you know, like a plastic cup or things like that. And yeah, I just think they just really stood out this year for that reason.
Yeah. I know I talked with Rocket Mortgage's CMO, and they do a really good job, but they also explain like for big brand launches or campaigns or Super Bowl, they will toss it up to the in-house agency and other outside agencies too. So I'm assuming that's how this kind of works. You know, they're figuring their niche. And from the employer side, like working at that, it's kind of nice because you're working on the same brand or suite of brands. You can really dive deep, work nimble, work fast, get approvals. Yeah, I think in-house is something that people should explore for sure. And Yeti obviously is a great brand, although Stanley Cup was the hot one.
But I own a Yeti. But I mean,
you're going to own a Yeti forever. Like that thing's not going away unless you lose it.
Yeah.
Imagine. You're never going to have to throw out a Yeti, I feel like.
But yeah.
That was a big brand in 2016 when I was like just starting out in advertising, like learning about this stuff. That was like my first resort, like report in college.
Oh, really? What?
It was like my advertising 100 class, pick a brand, do like an audit, do like what's their positioning, what are they about, what's their advertising look like, just a basic report.
Oh,
They were big back then. I think McGarrett-Jesse was the one that could be wrong, that Texas agency that kind of launched them or helped get the word out about the brand. So I think they might be moved on, or I'm sure they still employ them for some stuff.
But that's interesting you picked that. I don't know if I would have picked that.
Yeti.
But I don't know. Like, that's interesting that they like impacted you like that.
It was huge. It was huge. It was like, you know, justifying spending all that money on a cooler. Like, something's going on here where Arctic would, and I remember being like, Arctic is just as well as a performance.
Right.
Why, how are people spending, like, what, why are they willing to spend all this money on a seemingly luxury product?
Right.
No. So, but now they tap into lifestyle. They know it's about adventure. It, like, it's very similar to Jeep, in my opinion. Like, mm-hmm. it wants you to get out there and you're buying the experiences that come from this thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, younger generations, like, they're more open to quality products, you know, if it has a message. And I think that sustainability message resonates, you know, really well with Gen Z for sure.
Like, it's like Nike. Like, I see a pair, like a good ad for like a Nike basketball shoe. I'm like, if I buy these, I'm going to be able to play basketball like Michael Jordan. Never going to happen. I'm probably never going to go on a fishing trip.
Maybe
in the ocean, but if I buy a Yeti, maybe I will.
Maybe one day, Dino. You never know. There you go.
What's your next deep dive, Brian?
Yeah. So my final pick. D1 agency, actually. Let's go back. Let's go back. I just thought this was really significant. You know, well, one, I'd like to, before I do this, I'd like to shout out like Influential, our influencer agency of the year, who also had a good year.
What's the name of that agency?
Influential. They're one of the largest influencer agencies. And both of these agencies, great submissions. And I just think it's a way of where the advertising industry is going, where the world's going, where people are consuming content. It is very influencer focused these days. D1, you know, winning an account with Chipotle, working with Keith Lee, the famous TikToker, on a campaign, you know, they're Chipotle's culture agency of record, which is popping up more now. And I think that's something that people should pay attention to, right? Like, where are these like niches, these niche agencies popping up, right? Where are they being successful? I think nowadays, like maybe back in the day, you'd create a portfolio of out-of-home ads and things like that. Like, create a TikTok portfolio, create something that might cater to what CMOs are really interested right now, which is tapping into Gen Z audiences. You know, D1 has a 50 full-time Gen Z employees, which, you know, as a college student, if I was getting out, you know, just graduating, I would love to hear that, right? Because that means...
How many, 50?
50, full-time, you know?
Wow, that's a lot of risen up.
for an entire agency, that's pretty good, you know?
They're risen up Gen Z.
And, you know, they won accounts with Elf Beauty, Lyft, Amazon, and Calm, you know, the mental health app.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just do really good social media work.
Heck yeah. My last deep dive is Agency Executive of the Year. What? I thought we were talking about agencies, Brian.
Well, yeah. So... You know, I like this every year because it gets me a chance to highlight like just a person in the industry, right? I think
this is like a boss, somebody high up in the agency. It's got to be a leader.
Yeah, well, someone who had an executive who had a really interesting year, you know, growth year. It could be a few reasons, but
Pedro Lerma,
which
is Lerma /
imagine that's how you said it.
I'm reading Lerma and then there's a /.
No, you're right.
Is that how they say it on like phone calls?
I think you say Lerma, but
well, now we're learning.
Pedro Lerma, like, I don't think a lot of people might know him, right? And, you know, he was at the Richards Group, he was the head of their multicultural agency at the time. The Richards Group went through a tough time, let's say, where, you know, their founder was, you know, basically stepped down after some, you know, remarks that he made that were racially insensitive in a client meeting. This was back in 2020. And
that was big news. Did you cover that?
I was, this was before my time, but my editor, Judy did. She broke that. So, it was big. It was big. And, you know, the Richest Group, now known as TRG, the new rebrand. And, you know, Stan isn't there anymore. And yeah, they're trying to rebrand and be their own.
The Austin School is still named Stan Richards.
Right. I wrote that story. Yeah. They're keeping the name, you know, despite some people not being happy about it, but you know,
we're just covering the news here.
Right. But look, Pedro, he leaves the agency. He starts his own. He realizes he can take some clients from, you know, Richest Group that maybe want to still work with him. They just maybe don't want to work with TRG at the time. So he starts his own agency, you know, in Dallas. And, you know, it's a small agency, right? But then last year they picked up creative AOR for Avocados from Mexico, which had a Super Bowl spot. And they had two other Super Bowl spots, which, you know, controversial.
And this is how I want to step in here. I knew about this guy. And as any good ad nerd wants to, you know, should do, you see something interesting and you go to Google and there's an Ad Age article that you'll probably read that says who made the ad. So the ad that I saw was a Jesus ad.
Mm.
And I was like, this is interesting. And it was pretty creatively well done.
Right.
You know, now, and I saw that this guy, this agency made it. And I'm like, now they're on my radar.
Right. Creatively well done, controversial for some people, given who are the potential backers of the, you know, ads.
Yeah.
But, you know, still creatively well done. Incredible growth for the agency. You know, I think they're about 100 people now or something like that in just a few years. But Pedro himself, like, he had an interesting story where, like, when growing up, you know, to be able to afford a discounted tuition at a private school, he and his brother had agreed to mop and basically clean the classrooms every Saturday morning at the school. And he told me personally, like, how, like, that was embarrassing for him. He never really liked that. And, you know, now it's a point of pride for him. It showed him, like, the value of hard work. And he
said, love that.
When he went to the Richest Group, when he applied, he created, like, a fake Ad Age magazine cover or article saying, like, oh, TRG hires, you know, Pedro Lerma. And he admitted it was corny and stuff, but, like, he thinks that helped them get a job. And I think it's just, like, lessons you can learn, you know, from... And
I think it's good on you guys, too, you know. You, Ad Age, you guys could have been like, maybe let's not talk about this. Like, there might be somebody, it could be easy to, you know, if there's controversy, I'm not sure, but I'm proud of you guys, you know, telling that story, you know, and obviously he's a great creative. So kudos to you all.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's, you know, there's a lot of controversy everywhere, right? But objectively, the agency had a good year. So
boom. Brian. Great episode. We can't get through everything, everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody on this, amazing. Like, what an honor. You'll be in my brain as a great agency forever. You could shut down in a year. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm still going to think you're great. So that's the power of the brand, that, like, the PR of this thing. So powerful, and you all earned it. So go and read this thing. Get Ad Age. Reach out to us. Reach out to me.
All right, man. This was great. And thanks for just letting me do this. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Spreading the good word. Thank you.
All right.